Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's hear from a coach that's starting to get some pressure on him. Sure, first year 13-3, second year 13-3, third year 13-3. The offensive genius, though, of Matt LaFleur, when you don't have Aaron Rodgers playing at MVP level and you take away Devontae Adams, not looking so good when you just lost back-to-back games to the Giants and then also the Jets when you had leads in those games, too. Here's Matt LaFleur on the Packers offense struggling on Sunday.
We're in a pretty bad predicament right now. We just could never get into a flow, and I felt like we didn't handle any of the movement very well, and it just felt like we were calling plays in second and long the whole game. So we got to be more disciplined, obviously. That's about as frustrating as a game as I've ever been a part of in terms from an offensive perspective.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of nuts, Ryan, because last week they had the lead 17-3, then 20-20. Up against the Giants, and then they lost the game. This week, the Jets were just better. The Jets just dominated them, and then when it got to 17-10, I don't know about you, but when that game gets to 17-10, I'm thinking, okay, they're down by 7. Here they go. They'll find a way to get a spark, and they'll probably win the game. And then it was just ugly. Right after they get 17-10, they allow a touchdown drive right back. That's a rough, and I mean a rough first 6 weeks for the Green Bay Packers. And you look at that division, they already lost to the Vikings. And not only that, the Vikings are 5-1. Even if you don't think the Vikings are the greatest 5-1 team in the world, they're already starting to dig themselves in a deep hole. Here's what I'll say. Thank God you got the Commanders this week. But you actually may be now worried that Carson Wentz is going to be out because they'll have to improve with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback, you would think.
Can't get any worse, right, for the Commanders? Only up from here, so that's not a good thing if you're the Packers.
This is a must-win for the Packers this week.
Yes.
You get to 4-3, then you play the Bills the next week. You'll get slaughtered by the Buffalo Bills. And after that, you get the Lions. You should be able to take 2 out of these next 3 games, and then you quiet some of the doubters just a little bit. Like, it's not going to totally remove doubt, but you quiet some of the doubters. But this team has problems. The line's not playing well. Rodgers looks frustrated. Sometimes just looks like he doesn't care. Doesn't look like any of these wide receivers are going to blossom yet. Watson can't get on the field. Defensively, they have taken a step back. There are legitimate problems with this Packers team where before the year, we knew they weren't going to be as strong as 13-3 like they were the last 3 years with losing Adams. But you didn't expect this team to be 3-3 after the first 6 weeks of the season. Like, even you have been very, very, very pessimistic about the Green Bay Packers, hot take, Hickey. You would not even have predicted they'd be 3-3 through the first 6 games of the season when you have the Vikings, Bears, throw out the Bucks, Patriots, Giants, and Jets on the schedule.
Not at all. I think we said, what, worst case 4-2, but probably 5-1. Like, you're sitting there looking pretty good, and it's not been the case so far.
Let's hear more from Matt LaFleur. He's asked how the Packers can simplify the offense.
Matt, were you surprised to hear how much Aaron wants to simplify the offense yesterday?
I don't know what that means.
I'm actually going to defend Matt LaFleur here. That does not sound good when your quarterback says, let's simplify the offense, and your coach goes, yeah, I have no clue what my quarterback is talking about. But I don't really understand anything Rodgers says these days, if I'm going to be transparent with you. How do they simplify the offense here, Hickey? This offense is not good right now. I don't think there's any way you could simplify it other than maybe going out there and getting Odell Beckham Jr. or going and trading for a wide receiver. But it's not as if you look at this Packers team and say, oh, they're too complex with their approach on offense. Hey, it would help to run the football more, but you got to play in front, not from behind. And they were playing from behind yesterday, so you get to throw the football probably more than you want.
And if anything, like, we know Aaron Rodgers is different kind of quarterback, right? He has his own, like, nuances within the offensive, and, you know, he'll give, like, a guy a look, and that means one thing, and, you know, he has his all certain small intricacies. Simplifying the offense is on him, then. Because to your point, like, I don't know how you could simplify the play calling and the design much more. It's all around Aaron Rodgers.
Can I translate that for you?
Sure.
I miss Devontae Adams. Wah, get me Devontae Adams back. That's what it is. It's not like the offense got more complex. It's life is tougher in this league when you had such great synergy and such a great connection with Devontae Adams, and he walks out the door to the Las Vegas Raiders.
How much blame is on Aaron Rodgers for this start, offensively?
In terms of him not playing well?
Just overall in general, this offense just being as bad as it has been so far.
A decent amount. And here's why. When there are tough moments, you expect your quarterback, even in not the most ideal situations, to lead and just find a way. I'm not asking him to be 5-1. I'm not asking him to be 6-0. We're asking him to be 4-2. And you have not seen Aaron Rodgers elevate that team. There's been a lot of years where he's elevated that team, where you say, oh, he doesn't have a number one wide receiver, or doesn't have great weapons outside of Devontae Adams, or, oh, the defense is screwing him over. And you still feel good at some point with the Packers throughout the season. There's been a lot of excuses. You're Aaron Rodgers. You're getting paid $50 million a year. When you're getting paid $50 million a year, you got to ball out. And he's not balling out right now. He just got dominated by the Jets. The Jets have some nice pieces. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson. You look at defensively, Quinnen Williams, Sauce Gardner. If I would have told you yesterday, Ryan, that Zach Wilson would throw for 110 yards, you would have said the Jets lost by how many? Correct, Amundo?
Yes.
Zach Wilson only threw for 110 yards, only completed 10 passes yesterday. And the run game for the Jets was really good, and they allowed the special teams block punt. I get all that. And Breece Hall had 116 yards. The Jets were just better. And the offense never got in any rhythm. And isn't it crazy? Green Bay and Tampa, the first 6 weeks of the season, with the legendary Tom Brady and the great Aaron Rodgers, neither of those quarterbacks have been able to find their groove at all so far this season. Even the Buccaneers game for the Packers, they won 14-12. The Bucs are playing without like three wide receivers, and you still almost had to go to overtime. You won 27-10 against the Bears. No one's popping champagne over that. And you needed to grind one out against the Patriots when at the time, I know we look at Bailey Zappe differently, but he didn't start that game. Brian Hoyer originally got the start, then he got knocked out of the game. Packers team, it's getting ugly. Hey, you know what? It's not getting ugly. It is ugly right now. Let's hear from Aaron Rodgers on how the offense can improve moving forward.
Not attacking anything. I just think that based on how we've played the last 2 weeks, I think it's going to be in our best interest to simplify things for everybody, for the line, for the backs, for the receivers, especially with Cobbie's injury. Just simplify some things, and maybe that'll help us get back on track.
He's just speaking in generalities. Isn't that how you interpret that? Like, we heard what LaFleur said about the quote that we played you, the quote by Rodgers. I think he's just giving the typical quarterback answer right there.
I think now he's stuck between trying to take more shots at the rest of the team, but also biting his tongue and not making it seem like he's throwing blame on everyone else.
Well, he ended up being wrong. Remember last week, Jair Alexander said, yeah, I'll be worried if we lose to the Jets. And Rodgers like, oh, cut that out. We can't have that negative energy, blah, 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 blah. Maybe Jair Alexander knew it was coming. maybe he has a better pulse on the team and was just being realistic, and Rodgers was trying to avoid some of the problems, trying to only hype up the atmosphere that was in London last week. Come on. That's brutal. That's pathetic. 3-3 for the Packers.
And lose by 17 at home. Like, they didn't just lose the Jets. Like you mentioned, dominated 17 points.
They got embarrassed.
So bad.
You had Packers fans booing yesterday.
I can't remember the last time I heard them booing. It's been a very long time. To their credit, the Packers have not given them many reasons to boo, but...
Yeah, you've had... You went for from Packers Favre fans. To Rodgers. Let's go to Robert Sala. Says he always believed that this team could have success.
I've said it before, there's faith and there's belief, right? That people can see things happen before it's even possible to live in faith. And there's, but unfortunately, a majority of the people in the world, including us as a team, some people need to see it happen.
Sometimes a coach just has the proper pulse on his team. That's Robert Saleh. The Jets should not have a 4-2 record, but they do. And if you recall, he got dragged with... It was stupid the way that it sounded, but he knew that it created a little spark with this team saying, hey, we're keeping receipts. We see all the negative things people say, and we're going to expose those receipts. And even remember Arthur Smith? He had similar comments. You see the Falcons? They don't have talent to beat. They shouldn't have they don't have the proper roster right now to be 3-3, but they are. And the Jets probably don't have the roster right now to be 4-2, but they are. And when you have some young talent, and you have a coach that believes in you and tries to ignore all the past, the same old Jets and all the problems with the Falcons in the past, it's paying off, and those players are believing in their coach, and they see a leader of men in the locker room. Now, let's get to the Cardinals. 19-9, they lose to the Seahawks yesterday. Now, we've been very critical of this Cardinals offense. They didn't show up against the Chiefs. They had to come from behind against the Raiders. They didn't have any life against the Rams. They were terrible against the Panthers. The Eagles, they only played one half. And then yesterday against Seattle, they didn't even show up, period. Kyler Murray is not great right now. Cliff Kingsbury, he's lucky he just signed an extension through 2027. And their offense, I'll defend Kyler a little bit. Their offense without DeAndre Hopkins is totally lost. But when you pay that quarterback that much money, he's got to step up. But the problem is they're asking it just to be him. He had 100 rushing yards yesterday and had him throw the football 37 times. When you ask one person in this league to win, it doesn't work. Look at the Rams. It's all Cooper Kupp or nothing. It's not working right now. It is a team game, and you can't just ask one individual to be your team. So Kyler Murray's good. He's not great. But Cliff Kingsbury, this dude hasn't adapted at all. You take DeAndre Hopkins off the field, and I know he comes back this week off the suspension. And Cliff Kingsbury is just a bad football coach. Kyler Murray, the last time he struggled this much.
I mean, rookie year, probably. Yeah, I mean, that's the last time I felt this hard. You know, it's just tough out there right now. Tough. That's what it feels like. You know, and a lot of it, like I said, is self-inflicted.
Let's go to the Patriots and Browns, where I'm now happy for Zappy, as Bailey Zappy, the Western Kentucky former quarterback who led the FBS last year in passing touchdowns and also passing yards and set an all-time record in both those categories in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Here is Bailey Zappe Bailey Zappe went 24-34, 309 yards, 2 touchdowns in the game yesterday. And let's listen up to Bailey Zappe, who is happy that his play and practice is translating to the game.
To be quite honest with you, I'm just, you know, taking advantage of, you know, my opportunity and at practice and wherever it is, and, you know, taking it week by week. And once we come back tomorrow, watch the film tomorrow of this game, and then it's really on to the Bears.
Don't worry, be zappy now. Ooh, don't worry. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Be zappy. Do-do-do-do-do. Don't worry, be zappy now. Remember that fish that used to sing on the wall? You ever seen that?
Yes, I've never heard that. He used to sing one of those songs?
Here's a little song I wrote. Yeah. At least that's the fish on the wall that I had in my house growing up as a kid.
How much longer till you buy another fish? Sounds like you're in love.
I'm in a tough place here. I have a texting relationship with Mac Jones, and Bailey Zappe joined us last year, and I've exchanged some texts with Bailey Zappe.
I will just point out maybe something I observed. I did notice in the past few weeks you've changed your Twitter profile picture.
No, that was to show love to my guy, Deion Dawkins, who's a dear personal friend.
Friend of the show, Deion Dawkins.
No, that's not just a friend of the show. That's like an actual friend in life.
Is that?
No. I did that after week one.
And that was a loss.
I need another big fella in the profile picture. That's what it was.
Just wondering.
Here's Bill Belichick. He'll give us clarity if there's a quarterback controversy in New England. This courtesy of WEEI.
If Mac is 100% healthy this week, is he starting Monday night against the Bears?
Yeah, that wasn't an option yesterday. He wasn't active for the game, so there was really no option to play him.
Is Bailey Zappe competing to have that job, or is it Mac Jones' job, whenever it is, that he becomes fully healthy to return to the field?
Look, it's every player's job to be ready to go. That's their job. So Mac wasn't active yesterday, so there's nothing to really talk about.
I love how the question was, if Mac is healthy against the Bears, will he be starting? He wasn't healthy yesterday, so that wasn't really an option for us. What? You knew Belichick wasn't going to answer that question. I talked to Jacoby Myers yesterday on Ion Football, and he goes, yep, that question's for Coach Bill Belichick, not me, when I asked him if there's a quarterback controversy. Is there a quarterback controversy in New England, hot take, Hickey?
Right now, I will say no.
I don't
think
so.
3 weeks from now? Maybe.
Do you think Mac Jones will be starting against the Bears on Monday night? He was running around in pregame and his practice this past week.
I don't. I'm still not buying his health being back. I mean, this is like a
high ankle sprain.
Yeah, that's. I think they're playing this too close to the vest.
Yeah, the schedule the next 4 weeks: Bears, Jets, Colts, Jets. The Jets are 4-2, so they play good football. The Colts have been inconsistent. If Mac is healthy, I play him on Monday night. And then he goes, lights up the Bears, and you put this controversy away. Now, if he plays poorly, people might be chanting for Bailey Zappe. And you got to remember, too, because people are going to say, and we'll talk about this more later, people are going to say, oh, well, Belichick in the past benched Drew Bledsoe, was getting paid $100 million for Tom Brady. Belichick did not draft Drew Bledsoe. Belichick did draft Mac Jones. So I do think when you spend the first-round pick on a quarterback, that Belichick is going to eventually hand this team back over to Mac Jones. And I like Bailey Zappe, but how much is yesterday this Browns defense just thinking up the joint as well? Let's go to Todd Bowles. He is asked if Tom Brady's special treatment is having a negative effect on the team.
He works as hard as anybody. You know, special treatment. There's been a few guys that missed some meetings and some practices for some special thing that just doesn't get publicized because they're not him. So it kind of comes with the territory. You don't worry about it too much.
Is he as locked in as he's been in the past with you?
Yes.
Bill Belichick told Robert Kraft, I'm not going to your wedding Friday night in New York City. I got to prepare for the Browns. Tom Brady was at the wedding. Is that a big deal?
I'm going to say no, but also,
I don't think it is either.
When you play the way they have on offense, it's not just one game, it's been all season. It's not good optics, I'll say that.
Can we just go back to what the problem is whenever Brady doesn't have success? Offensive line doesn't play well. And there's been no continuity on that offensive line. Got off to a rough start with all the injuries they suffered. And you don't know which receiver is going to be healthy week in and week out. And, like, their best player in offense in the first few weeks of the season has been Leonard Fournette. Like, they're asking him to do so much, Leonard Fournette. It's kind of wild when you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Patrick Mahomes says the Chiefs beat themselves yesterday.
That's a great football team. I thought we played some good football. We just made too many mistakes at the end of the day. And when you make mistakes against another great football team, you lose football games. And so it'll be good to learn from. But right now, I mean, it stinks.
Von Miller with the game on the line won the game. That's why he was brought into Buffalo. Sean McDermott is proud of the Bills closing out the Chiefs.
It was good to see It's not easy. I mean, coming here, number one, against this team, we've had our battles, and I was real proud of the guys and the way they executed in the final moments of the game there.
And let's hear from Josh Allen. He is asked if Sunday's win felt like redemption.
No, not for me. I think some guys may think differently. I can't tell you. Nothing that we did last year translates to what we did or we're going to do this year. You know, everything that happened in the past is where it is, so all we can do is focus on the next one, and today was the next one, going into our bye week. And I don't know who we play in 2 weeks, but, enjoy this one and turn our attention towards them.
Uh-oh. Who do the Bills play in 2 weeks? Bulletin board material right there? I don't think it matters. But, you know, they think they're so good that he doesn't even know who they're playing after the bye week. Oh. You know who it is? It's the Packers. And that Rodgers fell, and the Packers are so irrelevant right now. We don't even need to know who we play. right after the game. Can't crush a guy for not knowing who they play in 2 weeks. But I don't think yesterday was redemption. Redemption will come in the postseason if you send the Chiefs asses packing. And finally, the Baltimore Ravens this year have 3 losses. In those losses, they were up 35-14 in the fourth quarter against Miami. Against the Buffalo Bills, they're up 20-3. And then up against the New York Giants yesterday, they're up 20-10. They lost all 3 games. John Harbaugh says the Ravens just can't close out games right now.
Tough loss. Credit to the Giants for getting the job done at the end. And that's the biggest story for us is, you know, winning the game at the end of the game, making the plays that need to be made and not making the errors that cost you an opportunity to win the games.
At worst case, and you can make the case they should be 6-0, at worst case, they should be 5-1. Instead, they're 3-3, and that defense, whether it is a mental block, whether it's just the defense not being as good as it's been in years past, they can't finish games with a lead to save their life right now. And I know Lamar made some mistakes yesterday, so some of it's on Lamar as well. But, man, when you get those leads in those games, you would think your defense would be able to make a big stop in one of those spots. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, right car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Going out to you on the phones in a second. 855-212-4CBS. You can always follow the show on social media at Zach Gelb. Twitter and Instagram, ZACHGELB. Hickey, just real quickly, fact or fiction? 3 NFC East teams are going to make the playoffs this year. Fact or fiction?
I will still lean right now towards fiction.
So who's the team that's going to get squeezed out? Eagles are definitely going to the playoffs. They're 6-0. The Giants are 5-1 right now. Their next 4 games are cupcake games. Even if you lose 1 or 2, you're sitting at Thanksgiving with 7 wins. You play the Jaguars, the Seahawks, the Texans, and the Lions the next 4 weeks. Let's just say they go 2-2, and I think the Giants are going to go 3-1 in this stretch. If they go 2-2, they have 7 wins at Thanksgiving, only needing to have 2 more wins the rest of the season. The only way they don't make the playoffs is if Brian Daboll is Cliff Kingsbury of previous years, where you get out to these great starts and then you choke down the stretch, where this year for the Cardinals, it's just been a disaster all the way throughout.
I'm still right now leaning on the outs for the Giants.
Oh,
I'm not all the way in.
No.
I still want to see a little bit more. I know that it's 5-1. Like you mentioned, it would be very hard at this point to miss the playoffs.
Let me ask you this.
I can't trust them right now.
If they get, what do you think they're going to do the next 4 weeks? Jaguars, Seahawks, they're in Jacksonville, they're in Seattle, they're home against the Texans, they're home against the Lions. What do you think they do the next 4 weeks?
And they should be, with how they played so far and who they've beaten, they should be 3-1.
What do you think they're going to do?
I mean, if they
not
go,
what they should. What
if they
do you
go
think
1-3? I would not be surprised.
What?
I'm just not. I'm not sold.
One
I'm sorry.
Because
now we're starting. Like,
one
I don't want to
go
too far and raise expectations too high. But I do think there's a point where it's like you're talking now and you're saying, "Oh, win." I just don't think this Giant team, this roster is there yet.
That's not what I'm saying. I don't think the roster is great either. All I said was if they go 2-2, In these next four games, that's seven wins. You're telling me you can't find two wins down the stretch when you play the Commanders twice? You get the Cowboys are good. We know that. You get the Eagles twice. Eagles last week of the season. Maybe that game means nothing for Philadelphia. You got the Colts and the Vikings. There's got to be two wins right there.
It's a very favorable. I'm not saying you're right in what you're saying. I just can't get there yet with the Giants. Okay. I got to see a little bit more.
I think the division that we used to call the NFC least is sending three playoff teams. Eagles, Giants, Cowboys. All three going to the playoffs. And what do all those three teams have in common? They don't have Carson Wentz as their quarterback. Now, let me give you a little fact or fiction here. The LA Rams will win the NFC West.
I will still right now go fact.
But you don't feel great about it.
I do not feel great about it whatsoever.
Seahawks 3-3, Rams 3-3, 49ers 3-3.
Just like we thought.
Or fiction, yeah.
Seahawks tied for first place after week six.
So, you know, you've been very negative to Pete Carroll. You need to give me a Seahawks chant. You know how that goes?
Yes.
All right, start it off.
Seahawks!
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 Throw the Skittles, baby! You got to say I'm sorry to Pete Carroll. Be like Justin Bieber. Say you're sorry.
Pete, I give you a lot of credit. Through 6 weeks, not only do you have more wins than I anticipated.
Is it too late to say sorry?
Even in the losses, you are much more competitive than I ever would have imagined.
But
I thought the Seahawks
Pete Carroll's body.
Were trying to tank secretly. And here we are tied for first place after week six. So credit to them. They've been feisty, and they are offensively somehow looking better without Russell Wilson. But that's a whole other story.
Fact or fiction, the Minnesota Vikings are going to win the NFC North.
I will go fact.
Wow. Now, to be fair, there was criticism on both sides here. I killed you for saying that the Packers wouldn't have 10 wins this year. And then you killed me for saying that the Vikings are a lock to make the playoffs this year, which I did say before the start of the season. And now you are in agreement that the Vikings are going to make the playoffs, and you're taking it to the step that they're going to win the NFC North.
From what I've seen, I don't see this Packers offense, which, not to be fair, I pointed out some of the concerns. Don't see it getting better anytime soon.
Fact or fiction, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to win the NFC South.
Fact.
Yeah.
They stink, but so does everyone else.
So here's what we're learning. Like, let's just say, and you think it's plausible. I know that you're still a little bit out on the Giants, but you think it's plausible the Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys all make the playoffs.
Definitely a possibility.
All right. So that means there's one wild card spot left, if that's the way that it goes. Let's just say the 49ers win the NFC West. And yeah, I agree with you. The Bucs do win the NFC South. That means either LA or Green Bay is going to be in the outside look at income playoff time. That's wild. Before the season started, it was Rams, Bucks, and Packers as the only three teams in the NFC that had a prayer to get to the Super Bowl. And there's a legitimate shot with how bad the Rams' offensive line is, with how Stafford's starting to look like Detroit Stafford again, and then you take a glance at the Packers having no continuity on offense and their defense taking a step back, that one of those teams are going to miss the playoffs.
Which is it a bigger disaster for, Packers or Rams?
Ooh. Well, the Rams just won a Super Bowl.
They did, but to miss the playoffs
it's
after
ugly,
that.
It's horrible. But for Aaron Rodgers, you're looking to win that second Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford, I know that you're playing for an outside chance at the Hall of Fame, but you, in year number one in LA, won the Super Bowl. Yeah, that would be disappointing in year number two, but the Packers would be worse. Would be worse. Because I guess you could say the NFC West better than what you thought. It's like the NFC North is this dominant division. The Bears stink and the Lions stink. But the Vikings are 5-1, and they've done a remarkable job. Let's go to Scott in California next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, you know what? I was calling in because I was calling in about the disrespect for the Vikings speak, but you just filled in. So I'm good with you now, but been a Vikings fan for a long time, and yeah, we're 5-1, and some people can say that we didn't beat anybody, but we went to London and beat the Saints. You know, we're crawling back through games. Kirk, it's, I just think this is our year. If you look at the rest of our schedule, I know I have the Bills. I I think you have Dallas, too.
Yeah, Dallas, New England still in there. You get the Packers once again at the end of the year. You got the Cardinals coming off the bye this week. Hey, I said this before the year. Kevin O'Connell is going to bring new life to this football team. I've talked to a bunch of Vikings players, whether it was K.J. Osborne, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen. It's just a new culture, a new life, and nothing against Mike Zimmer. Older coach, his message was getting stale, and it's been a big-time upgrade at the head coaching position. And Mike Zimmer was a solid coach in this league, got the Vikings to an NFC title game with Case Keenum as the quarterback, but they needed a more offensive-minded coach. And if the defense could just be serviceable with that offense, there's no reason why this team shouldn't win the NFC North. Now, can you trust Kirk Cousins week in and week out to get you to a Super Bowl? I would probably say no. But in this year in the NFC, this thing is wide open. The only team that has been dominant this year in the NFC has been the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I know the Giants have been 5-1, give them credit. The Vikings are 5-1. And not, like a lot of those wins haven't been pretty, but they're wins. And that's what matters in this league. So maybe this is the year that it all comes together for Kirk Cousins. I'm not ready to go there yet, but I am saying that I'm ready to declare the Vikings here to win the NFC North. One more before the break. Let's go to David in Buffalo next up on the Zach Gelb Show. David, what's shaking, my man?
Hey, Zach. Appreciate you taking my call tonight, man. You know what? As a Bills fan, I'll tell you one thing. I was really impressed the way we played on both sides of the ball yesterday. Hostile environment there. But I think Josh Allen yesterday proved that he's the best player in football. I know everybody has been on Mahomes for a long time, but to me, the throws he made and then the plays he made outside of the pocket yesterday, he just showed, you know, in a big-time environment that he can take over a game, especially the Bills don't have much of a running game, and he's had to bend the running game. So I feel like Josh Allen right now is the guy in football. I mean, and everybody else, you know, in the league is looking at the Bills and saying, man, we are the team to beat.
Yeah, the two best quarterbacks in the game right now, especially with the lack of great football we're seeing from Brady and Rodgers, it's Mahomes or Allen, and Allen got the best of Mahomes yesterday. He didn't cough up the game with the game on the line. Now, we all know Mahomes is great. If they meet up again in the playoffs and Mahomes wins, would I be shocked? No, but the Buffalo Bills are the best team in football right now. That's no disrespect to Philadelphia. And they're the most well-rounded team in the league, and you hit the nail right on the head, David. The only potential flaw they have is that they're getting nothing out of Motor Singletary, Zach Moss, and then also James Cook consistently. And that's why I'd be in the market if Josh Jacobs becomes available or Christian McCaffrey as well. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, why this QB controversy in Dallas was the biggest load of crap I've ever heard and what's going to be shaken on out between Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
I may have a surprise for our loyal listeners in Milwaukee coming up on Wednesday. May have a surprise for you guys. Like a little surprise. A very pleasant surprise. A good surprise. But a little surprise for our fine listeners and great listeners on 1250 The Fan in Milwaukee. I will tell you potentially. I think I may keep it a surprise until Wednesday. I don't know if I'll tell you tomorrow. But I think on Wednesday you'll find out. This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, Holiday Triple Headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app on westwoodonesports.com via Westwood One station streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Hey, got to get a pulse of hot take hickey right now. Let's start with your Colts, and we'll save the best for last. When we get to the Indianapolis Colts, where are you at right now? It's been a rough season for you guys, but you are 3-2-1. You tied the Texans, who stink, and finally Jack Easterby is out of a job. You got blanked by the Jaguars 24-0. You somehow found a way to beat Kansas City. Then you got embarrassed by Tennessee. You embarrassed the football, but you were able to beat the Denver Broncos. Russell Wilson gave you that game. And then yesterday, typical Colts slow start. And then Matt Ryan played well, and they find a way to beat a team that on paper they're better than. But with that being said, you have struggled a lot against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So you give them credit for getting that win yesterday, especially with no Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines, and also Shaq Leonard out as well, the man formerly known as Darius Leonard, out once again. So at 3-2-1... Hickey, usually doesn't take much for Hickey to start believing again. Where's your belief level at?
In terms of what? Because I think it's all on a scale, all relative. Belief in a Super Bowl, nowhere. Like, this team is, I will never get there this year. I hope you know that.
I know that you are a fanboy when it comes to the Colts. But a Super Bowl, you actually thought I was believing you thought the Colts could go to a Super Bowl?
No, I'm clarifying. I'm trying to decipher what kind of, you know, belief level, like, what are we talking about here?
That they're going to win the AFC South.
I mean, talk to me after Sunday.
You're not better than Tennessee.
Talk to me after Sunday. Okay, if you get swept by the Tennessee Titans, then this is not...
But why are you still believing? Why are you getting set up to just get punched in the face again? The one thing I've realized with you, well, many things, but the one thing I've realized with you since working with you and knowing you for the better part of 5 years is you have disrespected the Tennessee Titans over and over and over and over and over again, and you always think the Colts are better than them. You embarrassed yourself nationally last year. We have the audio montage. Do I have to go wipe off the dust of that where you go, listen to me, the Colts are better than the Tennessee Titans. The Colts are better than Tennessee Titans. You're not listening to me. Over and over and over and over again you said it, and you got embarrassed last year. So why are you starting to believe in this team again?
Did I say they're going to win on Sunday? Did I guarantee the Colts are going to go into Tennessee and that they're the better team, they're going to win? I didn't say any of that.
You can't help yourself.
I just said, talk to me about the division after Sunday's game. I think this is a very pivotal game.
Fast forward. Football Friday. Hickey, do the Colts win the game this weekend against Tennessee?
I will be completely honest. I'm not trying to just save the pick. I'm just, right now on a Monday, I don't know. I don't know which, I'm being honest.
The fact that you're even setting yourself up to get not only slapped in the face again, but punched in the face like you're Jordan Poole and Draymond Green is about to throw a haymaker at you. I don't get why you do that to yourself.
What I saw on Sunday from the offense is exactly what this offense should look like this season when everything goes well. Now, it's against the Jaguars. Now, the Jaguars have been a team that has given the Colts nightmares, and that's a good defensive line.
You're the only team that struggles against the Jaguars. The Jaguars
aren't
a good team.
They have a good defensive line. The Colts offensive line, for the first time this season, actually look competent. And Matt Ryan, when he has time to throw, what do you know? He's actually not washed up, and he still can make some throws. But again, I'm measuring myself now against a competition.
You know what? I want you guys to win.
They go on the road to Tennessee.
I want you to win on Sunday. Because I want you to win on Sunday against Tennessee. I want you to win against the Commanders, lose against my team, beat the Raiders. I want you guys to go on a run. Because you're only hurting yourself long term. Because you guys don't have a franchise quarterback. I know you're going to tell me, oh, well, the Chiefs traded up for Patrick Mahomes and the Bills traded up for Josh Allen.
That they did.
Yeah, I trust those GMs a lot more than Chris Ballard.
Both of those GMs, or both of those teams, I should say, were playoff teams when they made the move to get their franchise guys. Chris Ballard was in Kansas City when the move was made, or in the lead up to the move.
Twice in a million. Those are those types of moves.
And, let's make it three times.
There's a lot of teams that would be crappy at the top. You think they're just going to say, oh, hey, Indianapolis, hey, you go. We'll gift you Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud or Will Levis.
Well, it's time for Chris Ballard or whoever's the GM.
You should want to lose as many games as possible to put you in the best spot with the roster that is not actually that bad to set yourself up for the future.
They're not bad enough to tank. That's the problem. They're too good to tank.
Your team stinks right now. This is the worst 3-2-1 team I've ever seen in my life. Probably the only 3-2-1 team I've ever seen in my
life. Well, I was just going to say also, too, that we're going with a very small pool of teams that are 3-2-1 to start the year.
Let's go from one team that you're delusional about to another. Here we go. All year long, you've been crapping on Michigan. And I've told you, the Michigan offense is better this year than it was last year. Defensively, I'm not ready to go there yet. But Manny Diaz, I can't believe I'm saying this, up until the other day, did a nice job with this Penn State defense. Now, you didn't think Michigan was going to lose the game, but you thought this was going to be a close game. And I just ask why, because since 2016, James Franklin has been an embarrassment against top 10 schools. He is 0-10. 0-10! This overrated, good but not great coach, tremendous recruiter, awful coaching game, and I actually laughed because they teased you. When they took that 1-point lead, 14-13, again, that no business being close, it was two fluky plays, I actually felt bad for Hickey because I know you're probably on your couch. Yeah, we are, here we go, we're in the game. The moment that game went to 14-13, I turned to my buddy. I was with a bunch of Michigan fans this weekend. I said, let's grab the live line number on Michigan. Michigan laying 4.5 was the easiest bet I've ever won. Michigan wins 41-17. Michigan's going to be undefeated. Ohio State's going to be undefeated. They'll meet up at the end of the year. Donovan Edwards, 173 yards. Heisman hopeful. Blake Corum with 166 yards and 2 touchdowns. Michigan put up 418 yards and 4 TDs against one Manny Diaz and the Penn State Nittany Lions and the overrated coach in James Franklin. I don't get why your school does not just start having Drew Aller be QB1. Get him ready for next year right now.
All right, I don't disagree. That loss was humiliating. Like, I am embarrassed. If they lose, it's one thing, fine. To let Michigan run for 400 yards on the ground.
Snake Diaz.
It's soul snatching. It sucks.
Wow. This is actually depressing. Usually sometimes I enjoy dancing on your grave. You're like a sad puppy dog right now.
I mean, all I did was see Blake Corum. It doesn't matter who's running the ball. Everyone's falling forward. Even though a few times Penn State got pressure in the backfield, they're still falling forward for 4 yards. It was so frustrating.
What'd you do for the game? I was at a bar in the city. Blue Haven, I think it's called. Usually big Michigan bar. There's a lot of Penn State fans there, a lot of Michigan fans. Fun little atmosphere. Penn State fans got all giddy, chanted "We are" when they took that 1-point lead. I was wearing my Michigan polo. Go Blue, baby, go Blue! And Michigan wins. Blowout.
Yeah, vibes were not very high where I was.
Who'd you watch the game with?
A lot of Penn State alum friends.
Were you watching the game with Jay Berman?
No.
I saw a photo of you and Jay Berman
that's
together
old.
This week. Oh, that's an old photo?
His camera reel is filled with photos from, like, he must have the biggest storage iPhone-wise I've ever had because he has photos from 30
years ago. I've
seen
two people go all gray now recently. Jay Berman, who looks good gray. And then did you see who is finally embracing the gray hair?
No.
On CBS, Rich Gannon. Totally gray.
I'm not seeing Rich.
The pandemic has done that to a lot of people where they were inside their house so they didn't have to color their hair or do anything. And they're like, I'm old now. It's fine. You're starting to see a lot of people go all gray now.
More times than not. Not every time, but more times than not. It looks better just to let the hair go naturally.
Do you have some grays?
I do.
Yeah, so do I.
And I'm not going to color them.
No,
it looks way worse.
You have a nice head of hair.
Oh, thank you.
I think you would actually look good gray.
One day I'm sure I'll find out, but I will not be coloring my hair. I can promise you that right now. It never looks good.
Do the Patriots have a quarterback competition? Yes or no right now?
Right now, no.
Dallas Cowboys think it's safe to say all this Cooper Rush nonsense we could now wash away and Dak Prescott's going to be starting.
How dumb
week.
Was that?
So dumb. No one actually believed it. Just people don't know what to talk about, so they have to try to stir up some controversy because they can't be creative in any other way. There was never going to be controversy. The moment Dak was able to grip a football, you knew he's going to be back on the field, no matter what Jerry Jones said. No huddle offense, week 6 next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire, and with trades, and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire, and with trades, and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire, and with trades, and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.